I want to continue to discuss five more lessons from a decade of dating. I'm certainly no expert in the area. Like I said in the first part, I definitely dated for many years and have had a lot of experiences. And I want to share some of the lessons I've learned with you. Hopefully, for those of you who are dating, hopefully these will be able to aid and help you in your own dating. For those of you who are not dating, like I said, these lessons apply to all different areas of life. The sixth lesson, lesson number six, which we're up to, is that people change over time. And that I've had many experiences of people who I've dated where, let's say, I was dating them and they were a little bit to the right of me religiously, and things didn't work out. And I saw them a few years later and they were a lot more to the left of me. Or sometimes the opposite has happened, where I date someone and they're a little bit to the left, and then it could be a few years later, they're a lot to the right of me. And it's important to realize that, of course, you're supposed to be aware of Basher Husham. You're supposed to only look at the person for how they are now. You're not supposed to think, and sometimes I remember learning the lesson where you're not supposed to be makariv your spouse, the person meaning who you're dating, and to be makariv them for when you're married. It's not supposed to be where, you know, right now they're not how I want them, but like, I'm going to get them to do more. Or sometimes in certain cases, they're a little too much for me, but I'm going to get them to chill out. I'm going to get them to do a little less. We're not supposed to certainly think like that. It is supposed to be basher husham, but it is important, of course, to realize that people change. If you just think back to the last 5 to 10 years of your life, no matter what situation you're in, whether you're 22 years old, whether you're 33 years old, whether you're 60 years old, I'm sure in the last 5 or 10 years, you've changed a little bit. It could be something, maybe you've changed a lot, and that's normal. And so it's important to realize that people change over time. Within the dating experience, it is important to recognize how they are at that moment, but to realize that things change. And sometimes it's life experiences that happen that make someone change. And sometimes there's so many, a myriad of reasons why someone will change. So two important Torah personalities, very famous personalities regarding change. The first is that of Rabbi Akiva, where Rabbi Akiva started off as, he said in the Gemara, that when he was younger, he wanted to bite a Talmid Chacham, like the bite of a donkey. He hated Talmidei Chachamim. He hated rabbis so much. And his students asked, what do you mean you want to bite him like a donkey? A donkey is as much as they had donkeys back then, it was still strange in the analogy to say, I want to bite you like a donkey. So they said, what do you mean? Why don't you just say, I want to bite you like a dog? So he said, because when a dog bites, a dog just rips the flesh of a person, but a donkey's bite is so strong that a donkey would break the bone of a person. And Rabbi Akiva said, I hated rabbis so much. I mamish wanted to like break their bones like the bite of a donkey. So it's pretty intense stuff. That's where Rabbi Akiva was coming from. Rabbi Akiva, of course, became the great Rabbi Akiva, who is a Rebbe of 24,000 Talmidim. Right? That's a very, very, very big change. And his wife, who stood by him the whole time, actually was there from the beginning when he was mamash a pashut yid, going off to sit in first grade with little school kids learning the Aleph phase. That was Rabbi Akiva. And on the opposite end, we have Elisha ben Avuya, who's known in the Gemara as Acher, where he began, I don't know exactly how he became, but I assume he was a good kid growing up the whole time, and he was a great Tana. He was the Rebbe of Rebbe Meir. He's quoted in Pirkei Avos. And for various reasons mentioned in the Gemara, he went off the Derech. And he was known as Acher, to the point where a Baskal had to come out and said that everyone has a way to do tshuva. Everyone could get Olam Haba except for Acher. There's no way. Acher's done. You're out. He went from such an extreme of being such a holy Tana to being someone on the far end of the spectrum. And these are just two things to recognize that people change. My Rosh Shiva from Reisha, Rav Ari Marcus, he has a sefer out now, 24/7/12. It says Rav Aaron Marcus, that's his Hebrew name that he goes by for his works, but it's the same person. So Rav Ari Marcus, I remember in Shana Bet, he gave a dating thought. And he said something, a very interesting insight. He said you should think about the direction that the person is going. He said, imagine if you have someone who grew up modern Orthodox, went to a classic modern Orthodox school, became a little more religious in Eretz Yisrael, and is on that way up. And they're starting to date. They're 21, 22 years old. They're starting to date. They go out with someone. That person came from a Beis Yaakov circle. And that person was a little bit more rebellious than Beis Yaakov. And they're on their way down. And you're meeting at the exact point of where both of you are. You're at the exact place. But you're a Ben Aliyah. And the other person is a Bas Yerida. And even though at that moment, for the next certain amount of weeks or months, things could be great, but you have to realize, make sure to try to figure out which way the arrow is going. And when I was thinking about this also, I was thinking that there's two critical times when a person's hashkafos and levels of religiosity can really change. One of them, the first time, is the first year or two, certainly year, when a person gets back from Eretz Yisrael. For both men and women, a lot of times it's a drastic change, and it could be a difficult adjustment to getting back to America. And a person is prone to changing. Sometimes people change and they dive right in, and they're going up and they're taking on more. And sometimes, oftentimes, a little bit more, it's going down a little bit. And that's one important time to recognize when people change the most. And the other time, I think, is probably somewhere around the age of 30, where if someone's still single at the age of 30, that's a time where things have become more difficult. Sometimes life and the bitterness of life and still being single can get the best of you. And it doesn't mean, of course, that a person always changes. And a person could stay very much a yashar. Even around these times, but in my opinion, that these are the two times, around like 21 or so, and around 30, where a person is more prone to change. That's lesson number 6. Lesson number 7: have someone to speak with. It is so important to have a rav, to have a friend, to have someone in one's family to seek advice from. In Pirkei Avos, we're told Knei Lecha Rav, Knei Lecha Chaver, right? You should have these people. You should have someone there who's able to guide you. It could be sometimes even just for the purpose of being able to, like for psychological purpose, to be able to vent. Of course, this could be errors to be important where it doesn't involve Lashon Hara. But certainly when it comes to Eitza, to know whether you're involved with someone right now at the moment and you're not sure, there's something that's a little off, there's something that's bothering you, you're a little bit, maybe you're scared, you're a little bit too different, it's important to speak to someone. It should be someone you trust, someone you look up to, someone you think that will give you sound advice, someone that understands you and understands your predicament. It shouldn't be, if they don't understand you, if they're coming from a totally different type of circle, then it might not be as beneficial. And I remember in my life, over the 10 years that I dated, there were a number of instances where I was going through some difficult times. Sometimes, like I said, it could be sometimes when I am in the middle of dating someone, that those are usually the more difficult times where something's not going right and I'm not sure what to do. When I was going through something very serious, I was very close with Baruch Simon, my Rebbe from YU. And I remember he was going to be traveling to Eretz Yisrael for about a week. And I was sitting with him in his office in YU. And he gave me his phone number. And at that moment while we were talking, so someone else came in. And someone asked to speak to him about something. I can't honestly remember what it was. But Simon said, like, I'm going to Israel, but I'll be back in a week. And we could talk then, or let's meet up then. And it's not a g'nai to Rav Simon Chas Shalom about not giving that person the time, because of course Rav Simon was very busy and was always available to give that person the time. But he said to me, he says, here's my private number in Eretz Yisrael where I'm going to be. Call me, please, if you ever need to talk. To have someone who's always there for you, who's really going to be able to help, someone you look up to. Rav Eli Marcus is my Rav in Eretz Yisrael, and I've spoken to him many, many times. And he's been very, very helpful. And I have a number of friends who I go to. people who I trust, people who, like I said, I believe in the letter. I don't think you have to be married in order to give good advice per se on dating. I do believe, of course, married people have a certain perspective on what makes a healthy relationship and hopefully a healthy marriage. But I think within dating, it could even be one's friends that are dating. And it's important to, if one is hopefully close with their parents, to speak to one's parents or sometimes one's siblings. When I was going through that same difficult tkufa with that Rav Simon story, I was very close with my father, and I was speaking to him and asking Eitza from him. Even though my father is a little bit more modern than me, I felt that he was actually able to give very sound advice. Rav Aryeh Leibowitz, in the shir, when he discusses Kibud Av Em, and how there are certain exceptions to Kibud Av Em, one of them happens to be when it comes to marriage, where if a person wants to marry someone, and their parents are not in favor of that person, then the child does not have to listen to their parent. Even if the parent says, you cannot marry that person, the child doesn't have to listen. Rav Aryeh Leibowitz says, but you should realize that your parents really care about you, and your parents have tremendous insight into who you are and what's good for you. So when they say, I don't think you should marry that person, I don't think this person is good for you, you should try to understand where they're coming from. It's important to be able to listen to one's parents and speak to them, because they do have your best interests in mind, and they are, have a certain insight into who you are as a person to be able to give you that help. For the Torah lesson to this, I did a Bar Ilan search, and the words ba'u mine, which means they wanted to inquire, which comes up in the Gemara whenever you ask a question. They would. Someone has something that they're grappling with, a halachic discussion, a halachic question. And so they inquired of a certain Rav, a certain Tana, a certain Amara. So Ba'i Mini comes up in 49 different sections throughout the Gemara. And the word Ba'i, which is also used, that's just similar, right? Of course, same word, Ba'u and Ba'i. But Ba'i comes up 263 sections throughout the Gemara. It's 63 sections, doesn't mean each time, it doesn't mean it's mentioned just 263 times. It could be it's mentioned within that section multiple times. So approximately, if we get add these up, it was somewhere around about 500 times where the word inquire comes up throughout the Gemara. And we see this embedded in the Gemara, and when it comes to halacha, of course, that you inquire for someone, what is the halacha, what should I do in this situation? And nothing's more important than dating and finding one's spouse, wanting to know what's right for them, and certainly that's a time for inquiry. Lesson number 8, quality over quantity. This is a little bit embarrassing, but I'm going to admit a very, very big mistake I had. That when, in the beginning of dating, I used to think that the longer the date, the better it was. Now, I'm well aware now that that is false, and that is not true. But I used to go on dates, and I used to go for about, on average, let's say the first number of girls I did, I believe it was about the first 10 girls I dated, where the average date was about 4 hours. And I remember thinking, oh, like, this is great, we're having a great time. Look, the date was 4 hours, and I'd feel good about it afterwards. And then the person ended it after one date, or two dates, or three dates. And they didn't want to go out again. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, but the date was 4.5 hours. It was a great date. I've since learned, of course, and you should know this if you're a guy listening to this, that girls feel very uncomfortable asking to stop the date. And sometimes, here and there, rarely, they'll try to give some hints. Like, you know, I have a big test coming up tomorrow. But typically speaking, they'll not say, this is done, like, can we end this? Can we go home? They will not do that. So it's important to... You don't want to really look at your watch or cell phone to see the time so much, but you don't want the dates to be 4 hours long. That is an important thing. And of course, the quality is much more important. And you could go on a date for 2 hours, hour and a half, 2 hours, 2.5 hours, and it could be the best day of your life. And just because it's not 4 hours long, that doesn't mean that that it's a bad date. And the Elio Rabba, when discussing from the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, the questions that were asked after we die. So one of them is Kavata Itam LaTorah. Did he set aside time for learning Torah? So says the Elio Rabba, LeInyan Torah Sholim LaAdam Kava Itam LaTorah. Regarding Torah, we're asked that question: do we set aside time for learning Torah? And he says, he notes, Ve'ein Sholim Kama Torah Lamad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to ask us, how much Torah did he learn? Says the Eli Rabbah, D'ma tov la'adam shalomar chamisha prakim b'maton ubin ima yoter me'esrim ubin echita. He says it's so much better to learn five chapters at a relaxing and easy pace, to be able to absorb it, than to learn 20 chapters when you're just rushing through it. And the quality of one's learning is just that's what matters. That's what Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to ask us about. It's the quality. It's not how many sechtas did you cover, but it's did you make sure to set aside time for learning Torah. And pour an idea to quality over quantity. Lesson number 9: things don't need to go as planned. People typically have a set script in their mind about how things should go. Before a person starts going out on dates, in general, they envision the person that they're going to marry. Sometimes that vision is literally the looks of the person. It could be someone who wants to marry someone who has blonde hair, and a person who is 5'9". Obviously, I'm not sure if you're listening and you're a female versus a male, that you're going to have different heights for what your desirable height is. But you get what I'm saying, where a person has that in mind of what they expect. But of course, it's not just the physical description of what you have in mind, but there you almost pinpoint the level of religiosity that you want in that person. And it's important, of course, to we have these ideals of what the person should be in our minds, but we sometimes dismiss anyone who doesn't fit that bill. A person will be suggested someone, and it's a little bit off in one category, and be like, no, that person's not for me. But we're so dismissive sometimes, too dismissive. It's important though, of course, to have standards, and to not date every single person that's suggested to you. But the standards that a person have should be within reason. And a person should, by the way, so one of the previous things we mentioned regarding asking Eitzah, it is important to maybe ask advice from someone of what is realistic to look for, and what is something that's not smart, where I have these expectations. But a person's standard should be within reason, and a person shouldn't be rigid in the exact looking for a very specific type of person. In my personal experience, if the person is within the right ballpark, and I decide to go out with them, then even if something is a little bit off, honestly, if I have a great time on the date, then it bothers me so much less. And if it ends up being the person you want to marry, then it's really going to bother you less, because you could overlook that one thing, and you could be able to figure out a way to work it out. So much of life is about compromise and about understanding. I've heard from Dr. Palkovich regarding the question of, like, where would you want to send your kids one day to school? So he says, if one person says they want to send their kids to Ramaz, the other person says they want to send their kids to Yeshiva Katana, so that's probably a little bit too far. But you could figure out for yourself, almost anything else that's within those boundaries is probably close enough. And that's just one example. You could use that to apply to other things, where not everything has to be exact. And there are so many components to a person, and it's almost impossible for everything to be the exact way that you want it. It's important to realize that you will be, to a certain extent, I guess, compromising certain things, but it's not going to be where you're going to be frustrated by that in the end. It's going to be something that you're going to realize that you're marrying a person, a human being, and there's thousands of components that go into this person, and the interests that they have, and things they like to do, and personality, just the nuance of personality you'll see that things will be better when you meet the right person, when you see and you enjoy having experience with someone. You'll see that the small things that bothered you on paper are really not going to bother you. And there are countless amounts of stories of people who did not want to go out. One person refused to go out with the other person. And every time they got read that person's name, it was like, no, I do not want to date them. And you know what? The person finally, after a certain amount of time, wore down and decided to date them, and they got married. And there are other types of stories of a person, people who went on a first date, and the date did not go well. And they were like, no, this is definitely a one and done. Neither of them felt bad. This is not going anywhere. And the shachtan convinced them to go out again. And you know what? It got a little bit better the second day. And then the third day, and you know what? They ended up getting married. And a certain amount where we have this perception. And even after a certain experience, something happens. But we're too quick sometimes to dismiss something. And I heard an interesting idea. I think I heard this in the name of Judah Michel. If it's not from Judah, I can't remember honestly who it's from. But it's to think of the following very interesting thing. When it comes to, imagine if you read a name, someone suggests someone to you. Imagine if you were told that this person's parents are totally irreligious, and not only that, but they don't respect at all the fact that the child became religious, and they're not accommodating whatsoever for that child. Would you want to date that child? Would you want to date that person? You know that your in-laws would be totally irreligious and would not even want to accommodate, or they would not be inspired or look up to the fact that you are religious. That's person number one. Person number two is, would you date someone who committed murder? Even if, let's say, the murder was because someone else was being attacked. So let's say to save someone from self-defense, but you committed murder, you killed a person. So it's not a simple thing. Neither of those are simple. So the first person who's very religious, but whose parents are totally irreligious, and don't respect at all what the person is doing, that person is Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu, who obviously, we like to say the first Jew, right, whose father owned an idol store, who gave him over to Nimrod, who tried to kill him. Right, you can't get more difficult in-laws than that. The second person, the person who killed someone, is Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe, who killed the Mitzri, who was hitting the Jew, and Moshe then had to run off to Midian, to go to, that's where he met Yitro. Right, so here we have Avram and Moshe. I think Avram and Moshe, in my opinion, and the opinion of everyone, are they're pretty, pretty from Jews. And yeah, just at face value, hearing those facts about them, like oh my God, I wouldn't want my son or daughter to date someone like that. So it's important, of course, to just put things into perspective. Lesson number 10. Act as if you're meeting your spouse. This is also a little bit embarrassing, but in my experience, so I think I said I enjoyed dating in the last year. I did enjoy dating. Obviously, it was very difficult at times. But overall, I did like going on dates, and I was excited to go on a date. And whenever I went out with someone, whenever I, let's say, had to make the first phone call, almost all the time, I imagined as if this could be the moment when I'm going to be speaking with my future wife for the first time. And I remember like having a certain excitement for it. Of course, sometimes 5 minutes into that phone call, I'm like, wow, this is definitely not my future wife. But I do remember always beforehand thinking about that. And then also, before I went on the first date, thinking that, you know what, this might be my first date with my wife. Now, I dated around 100 people, and that means that 99% of the time, I was wrong, because only the last time was I accurate. But even though that's the case, to be wrong 99% of the time, I think it was a good and healthy attitude. I know so many people who mamish hate dating, and it's important to not let that attitude take over you, and especially important to not let that impact the date you're going on, where the person could just tell and read the situation that you do not want to be there. It's important for some people. I know of someone who after going out with someone for a number of months, thinking they're going to get engaged, and then they ended up breaking up. I remember that person, I remember how, if it was 2 months later or 3 months later, when they started dating again, they went on a date, and they had that type of attitude, like, I do not want a date, I'm not excited. And that ended after one or two dates, and they realized, I have to stop, like, I cannot have this attitude, I have to take another break till I'm really ready to date. Because you don't want that to impact, your negative attitude to impact the dates that you're going on. The Torah lesson for this is that in just a few days, we're going to begin the 3 weeks. And we're going to be much more acutely aware of the Churban HaBayis and of our yearning for Mashiach. And we all know that we have to believe b'chol yom shiyava, that every single day Mashiach could come. And that every single day we have to wake up and think, today might be the day that Mashiach is going to come. And it can't just be lip service in Shmona Esrei when we say, ki lishuascha kivinu kol hayom. But we have to really believe that can happen at any moment. Mamish, right now, as you're listening to this, you have to think that Mashiach could come at this very moment. And we have to learn that lesson and live with that optimism and think that this next person that you might date might be your spouse, and that this whole parsha of dating, which has been very difficult for you, might come to an end. And for those of you who are still dating, I hope you find the right person at the right time. The right time should be Bekarov. And every single person, whether you're dating or not dating, you should all have a personal, and you should have a national Yeshua.